All right, get ready, because today we're diving deep into the world of Isaac Newton. You know, the man behind the apple.
Oh, yeah, the apple.
We've got some great biographical excerpts to really explore his life.
Mm-hmm.
And not just his big discoveries, but
yeah.
The man himself. So did an apple really give him that idea about gravity?
Right.
It was with the whole alchemy thing and what's a physicist doing messing with counterfeit coins.
Right.
Get ready, because we're going on a fascinating journey through the life and times of this scientific revolutionary.
It's true. His story is so much more than just that apple.
Totally. So, first impressions, what do you think of when you think of Isaac Newton?
That's a good question.
Hero. Flawed genius. Something else entirely.
He was definitely brilliant, but yeah, his personality was, well, kind of complicated.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning then.
Yeah.
What was his childhood like?
Unconventional, is putting it mildly.
Right. I mean, wasn't he born prematurely?
Yeah, he was so tiny, they didn't think he would live.
Yeah.
Then his dad died before he was even born.
Oh, wow.
And if that wasn't enough, his mom remarried and left him to be raised by his grandmother.
Wow. That's a lot to deal with for anyone, let alone a kid.
It makes you wonder how all that early abandonment maybe shaped him.
Definitely.
He became super independent.
Even reclusive, I think, later on.
Yeah, but, you know, even with that rough start, his curiosity just shone through.
I bet.
Imagine him as a boy building sundials, and get this, windmills powered by mice running on treadmills.
No way, really? That's incredible. You can totally see his scientific mind forming even back then.
It's like he was always observing, always experimenting.
Exactly. So how does this curious kid end up at Cambridge? Was it a good fit?
Well, initially, he just followed the traditional curriculum, a lot of Aristotle, you know.
A la classics.
But Newton was already drawn to these more modern thinkers like Galileo and Kepler.
They
were like challenging the old views of astronomy and physics. And then...
Oh, so he was kind of a rebel then, going against the grain.
In a way, yeah. He was reading all these revolutionary works on his own, basically educating himself on the cutting edge of science.
Wow.
And then, in 1665, Great Plague hits. Cambridge shuts down.
Wow.
Newton has to go back home. And that period, even though he was isolated, it became his annus mirabilis, his year of wonders.
So this is where the famous apple story comes in.
Yes. Now, the story might be a little embellished.
Sure.
But Newton himself actually did say that seeing an apple fall made him think about, you know, gravity.
I can picture it sitting under the tree and bam, it hits him.
Yeah.
What if the force pulling that apple down is the same force that keeps the moon in orbit around the Earth?
Exactly. That was a huge realization.
Right.
Before Newton, everyone saw the heavens and Earth as completely separate, governed by different laws.
Yeah, that's right.
But Newton said, what if there's this one universal force, gravity, that applies to everything?
That must have been a mind-blowing revelation. It changed how we see the universe.
It did. And that was just the start. He also developed calculus during this time and made big breakthroughs in optics.
No way. All this in just a couple of years.
Yeah. He was experimenting with prisms and light.
That's incredible. It all started with that one falling apple. But, you know, when I picture Newton sitting under that tree, it doesn't exactly scream difficult and ruthless personality.
Yeah.
Where does that side of him come in?
Well, let's just say his personality was full of contradictions.
I bet.
He was brilliant, but also super competitive.
Oh.
Always getting into feuds and rivalries.
Like what?
Well, one of the most famous was his battle with Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
About who invented calculus.
Wait, wasn't Leibniz also a brilliant mathematician? How can we even judge that now, centuries later?
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Both men actually developed calculus independently. But Newton, he accused Leibniz of plagiarism.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he used his power to basically discredit Leibniz.
So, some ego clashing going on there. Too bad, huh? You'd think these brilliant minds could at least, you know, acknowledge each other.
Yeah, absolutely. It just shows that even geniuses can be driven by insecurity.
Wanting the credit.
Exactly. And that wasn't his only rivalry.
Oh, right. There was more.
There was Robert Hooke, another big scientist back then. Mm-hmm. He challenged some of Newton's ideas about light and color.
This is the one where he tried to, like, erase Hooke from history.
Well, it was pretty bitter.
Uh-huh.
Let's just say after Hooke died, Newton supposedly made sure there weren't any portraits of him left at the Royal Society.
Wow, that's harsh.
Says a lot about his personality, how he handled disagreements.
It's kind of hard to believe the same guy who made these groundbreaking discoveries could be so, I don't know, petty.
It's important to remember the context. You know, it was a really competitive time in the scientific community.
True, true.
But yeah, his personal struggles definitely add another layer to his story.
Okay, speaking of complicated, what about Newton and alchemy? It seems so out there, so mystical, especially for someone who is all about, rational science.
It has puzzled historians forever. On the surface, alchemy is all about, turning lead into gold, that kind of thing.
Right, the Philosopher's Stone.
But it was also about experimenting with chemical substances and processes.
I gotta admit, the whole alchemy thing throws me for a loop. Was he really trying to make gold? Or was there something else going on?
Some people think he was actually searching for some deeper spiritual truths through alchemy.
Interesting.
Others think that even though his alchemy experiments seem totally separate from his scientific work,
Right, like different worlds.
they might have actually helped him understand things like chemistry and the conservation of mass.
So maybe there's a connection, like the meticulous alchemist carefully measuring stuff, and then the physicist figuring out the law of conservation of mass.
Yeah. It reminds us that great minds often connect ideas in surprising ways.
Definitely. And speaking of surprising, didn't Newton have like a side hustle as a crime fighter?
He did. In 1696, he became the warden of the Royal Mint.
Wait, really? The Royal Mint?
And he was serious about it.
Yeah.
Back then, counterfeiting was a huge problem.
Oh, yeah, I bet that messed with the economy.
It did. And Newton, being the meticulous guy he was, he used his scientific brain to investigate these crimes.
I bet.
He went undercover, interrogated suspects, gathered evidence.
No
He
way.
even helped redesign the coins to make them harder to forge.
He really went all in. So, did this like practical experience affect his scientific thinking at all?
That's a good question. Maybe working at the Mint, dealing with actual coins and forgers, kind of balanced out his more abstract theoretical work.
Yeah, makes sense. But even with all that success, he was still kind of an enigma, right?
True. We've talked about his tough personality, all the rivalries, his need to be alone. He never married, and we don't know much about his personal life.
Very private.
He became super famous, president of the Royal Society, knighted by Queen Anne, but he seemed happier with his books and experiments than with all the fame and attention.
Sounds like a true scholar, driven by those big questions.
Definitely. But it's also worth noting that in his later years, he dealt with illness and started thinking more about, death.
I guess everyone does at that point.
It makes you wonder, how did he look back on his life, all he accomplished, all the struggles?
Yeah, what would he make of it all? But his legacy, that's undeniable. His work, it's the foundation of modern physics.
It still shapes how we see the universe.
Okay, before we talk about that, what about his last years? How does the story end? So, did he find any, I don't know, peace as he got older?
Tough to say. But he kept working right up until he died in 1727 at 84.
Wow, that's a pretty long life for back then. Where was he buried?
Westminster Abbey.
Really? Westminster Abbey.
Yeah, alongside kings and poets.
Wow, that's quite an honor. Speaks to the impact he had not just on science, but on, well, everything. What's on his tomb? Is there an epitaph?
Oh, yeah, and it's beautiful. Let mortals rejoice that there has existed such and so great an ornament of the human race.
Wow. People were in awe of him, even back then. But what do you think? What's his biggest legacy?
For me, it's how he totally changed how we understand the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like before Newton, people saw the heavens as, I don't know, this divine, untouchable place.
Right, separate from us down here.
Exactly. But Newton showed us that the same laws of physics apply to everything. The apple falling from the tree, the planets orbiting the sun.
He made the cosmos make sense.
Yeah, through reason and observation.
It's amazing. His work, it impacted everything. Philosophy, the Enlightenment, how we approach knowledge itself.
Yeah, Newton helped pave the way for a more, rational scientific view of the world.
People started questioning old beliefs and looking for explanations based on like evidence. That's huge.
Huge impact on Western thought, for sure.
So, last question. If Newton were alive today, what mysteries do you think he'd be trying to solve?
Ooh, good one. With his curiosity, his ability to connect, like totally different ideas, he'd be right at the forefront of science.
Right.
Maybe figuring out dark matter and dark energy, or diving into quantum mechanics, consciousness.
Ooh, maybe even AI. Okay, here's one for you and for everyone listening. How would our understanding of science be different today if Newton hadn't been so, well, obsessive? If he hadn't had those flaws, that drive?
It's interesting to think about. Would he have made those same groundbreaking discoveries without that, relentless need to understand everything? We'll never know. but it does make you appreciate how genius personality it all plays a part in scientific discovery.
Totally. Well, I think we've covered it all. The falling apple, the laws of motion, the alchemy, the royal mint. It's been a wild ride.
It has. And it reminds us that even the most brilliant minds are shaped by their times, their experiences, their, you know, successes and failures.